I don't know if that is true or not, but it's beside the point. All the Mud People's arrows are fletched with straight feathers. That keeps them steady in flight. They hit in the same attitude as they are fired.
But I still don't see how this arrow is different from Prindon's.
Richard put his thumbnail in the nock. This is the way the arrow goes on the string, with the notch up and down like this. When the arrow is in the bow and when it hits, it is just like this. Now, look at the blade. See how it's up and down, too? Just like the notch. The blade and the string are in the same plane. Savidlin's bladed arrows are all like this. The reason for it is that he uses these bladed arrows to hunt large animals, like wild boar and deer. The rib bones in animals go up and down, just like the blade does. That gives the arrow a better chance of passing between the ribs, rather than being stopped by them. He leaned a little closer to her. Prindon's arrows are different. The blades are turned 90 degrees. When his arrows are knocked, the blade is horizontal. His arrows aren't made to pass through the ribs of animals. The blades are horizontal because he hunts something different, something with ribs that are horizontal. People. Kaelin felt bumps ripple up her arms.
Why would they do that?
The Mud People are very protective of their land. They don't often allow outsiders in. I would guess that Chandelin and his men are the ones who guard their borders from encroachment. They are probably the fiercest hunters among the Mud People and the best shots. Ask Savidlin if they are good with their bows. She conveyed his question. Savidlin chuckled.
None of us ever beat Chandelin's men. Even if Richard with the temper is good, he is going to lose. But they are careful not to humiliate us too badly. They will be gracious winners. Richard should not worry. He will enjoy the day. They will teach him to shoot better. That is why I wish to take my men. Chandelin's men always teach us to be better. Among the Mud People, being the best, winning, means you have a responsibility to those you have beaten. You must teach them to be better. Tell him he cannot back out, now that he has accepted the challenge.
I always thought it did people good to learn something, Richard said. I won't back out. Richard's intense gaze made her smile until her jaws hurt. Smiling himself, he turned, pulled his pack across the plank floor, and took out an apple. He cut the apple in half, removed the seeds, and handed half to her. The elders fidgeted nervously. In the Midlands, red fruit was poison, the result of an evil magic. They didn't know that in Westland, where Richard was from, you could eat red things like apples. They had seen him eat an apple once before, when he had tricked them into not making him take a wife from their village by convincing them that his eating it might make his seed poisonous to his bride. But they sweated as they watched the two of them doing it again.
What are you doing?
Kaelin asked him. Just eat your apple and then translate for me. When they finished, Richard stood, motioning her up next to him.
Honored elders, I have returned from stopping the threat against our people. Now that it is over, I would like to ask your permission for something. I hope you find me worthy. I would like to ask your permission to have a Mud Woman as my wife. As you can see, I have taught Kaelin to eat these things as I do. She will not be harmed by it, or by me. And in the same way, though she is a confessor, I will not be harmed by her. We would like to be together, and we would like to be wedded by our people.
Kaelin could hardly get the last of the words out past the tightness in her throat, and she could hardly keep from throwing her arms around him. She could feel her eyes burning and filling with tears, and had to clear her throat to finish the words. She put her arm around Richard's waist to steady herself. The elders suddenly beamed with surprise. The Birdman wore a wide grin.
"I think you are finally learning to be Mud People," he said. "Nothing could please us more than for you two to be wed."
Richard didn't wait for the translation, but gave her a kiss that took her breath away. The elders and their wives applauded. It was all the more special to her that they would be wedded before the Mud People. Kaelin felt at home here. When they had come before, seeking help in their struggle to stop Rawl, Richard had shown the Mud People how to make roofs that didn't leak. They had made friends, had fought battles together with lives saved and lost. In the process, the two of them had bonded with these people. In honor of their sacrifices, the Birdman had proclaimed them Mud People. The Birdman stood and gave Kaelin a fatherly hug that felt as if he were saying that he understood everything she had been through and was happy she had at last found happiness. She shed a few tears against his shoulder as he held her in his strong arms. Their adventure, a long ordeal, had taken her from the depths of pain and despair to the heights of joy. The fight had ended only yesterday,
It didn't seem possible it could be over at last. As they went on with the feast, Kaelin wished more than ever that it could end soon so she could be alone with Richard. He had been held prisoner for over a month and had only rejoined her the day before. She hadn't even really had a chance to talk with him or hug him nearly enough. Children danced and played around the small fire while the adults gathered around torches, eating and talking and laughing. Wesselin scooted down next to her, hugged her, and said she would make her a proper wedding dress. Savadlin kissed her cheek and slapped Richard's back. She found it difficult to look away from Richard's gray eyes. She didn't want to. Ever. The hunters who had been out on the plain the day the birdman had tried to teach Richard how to call specific birds with the special whistle he had given Richard as a gift wandered by the elder's platform. All Richard could do that day was make a sound that called all the birds at once, but not different species individually. The hunters had laughed endlessly that day. As they listened now, Savadlin made Richard show the whistle and tell again how he had used it to call all the birds that roosted in the valley filled with gars. The thousands of hungry birds had eaten the gars' blood flies, creating a panic. The diversion had enabled Richard to rescue Scarlet's egg. The birdman laughed, even though he had already heard the story 3 times by now. Savadlin laughed and slapped Richard's back. The hunters laughed and slapped their thighs. Richard laughed as he watched them react to Kaelin's translation. Kaelin laughed at seeing Richard laugh.
"I think we have found an adventure that satisfies them."
She thought about it and frowned.
"How did Scarlet land you close enough to the egg without being seen by the guards?"
Richard looked away and was silent a moment. "She landed me on the valley on the other side of the hills around Fire Spring. I went through the cave."
He didn't look at her.
Kaelin hooked some hair behind an ear.
"And was there really a beast in the cave? A Shadrin?"
He let out a deep breath as he looked across the open area. "That there was. And more." As she put her hand on his shoulder, he took it and kissed the back of it, still staring off. "I thought I was going to die there, alone. Thought I would never see you again." He seemed to shake off the memory and leaned back on an elbow, gazing at her with a lopsided smile on his face. "The Shadrin left some scars that aren't healed yet, but I would have to take off my pants to show them to you."
"Really?"
Kaelin gave a throaty laugh.
"I think I'd better have a look, to see if everything is all right."
As she looked deep into his eyes, she abruptly realized most of the elders were watching them. Suddenly, she felt her face warm. She snatched up a rice cake and took a quick bite, relieved to know they couldn't understand their words. She hoped others couldn't understand the look in their eyes. She chided herself to pay more attention to where she was. Richard sat up again. Kaelin reached over to a small bowl of roasted ribs that looked to be wild boar and set it down in his lap.
"Here, have some of these."
She looked over at a group of the wives. She held up the rice cake and smiled.
"These are very good."
They nodded their satisfaction. She looked back at Richard. He was staring down at the bowl of meat. His face was white.
"Take it away," he whispered.
Kaelin frowned and lifted the bowl from his lap, setting it behind her. She scooted closer to him.
"Richard, what's wrong?"
He was still staring at his lap as if the bowl were still there.
"I don't know.
I looked down at the meat, and then I could smell it. It made me feel sick. It just seemed like a dead animal to me, like I was about to eat some dead animal lying there in front of me. How could anyone eat some dead animal that was just lying there?"
Kaelin didn't know what to say. He didn't look well. "I think I know what you mean. I was sick once and they fed me some cheese. I threw it all back up. They thought it would be good for me and every day fed me more and I would throw it up until I was well again. That is why to this day I don't like cheese. Maybe it's something like that, because you have a headache."
"Maybe," he said in a weak voice.
"I spent a long time at the people's palace. They don't eat meat there. Darkan Rawl didn't eat meat, so none was served at the palace. Maybe I just got used to not eating meat."
She rubbed his back as he put his head in his hands, running his fingers through his hair. First cheese, and now meat. His eating habits were becoming as peculiar as a wizard's.
"Kaelin, I'm sorry, but I need to go somewhere where it's quiet. My head really hurts."
She put her hand on his forehead. His skin was cold and clammy. He looked about ready to fall over. Her insides fluttered with worry.
Kalin squatted in front of the birdman.
Richard doesn't feel well. He needs to go somewhere quiet. Is that all right?
At first, he thought he knew why they wanted to leave. His smile faded when he saw the anxiety on her face.
Take him to the spirit house. It is quiet there. No one will bother him. Get Nissel if you think there be need.
A little of his smile came back.
Maybe he has spent too much time on the dragon. I thank the spirits my gift of flight was short.
She nodded, unable to manage much of a smile, and said a quick good night to the others. Picking up both their packs, she put a hand under Richard's arm and helped him to his feet. His eyes were squeezed shut, his eyebrows wrinkled together in pain. The pain seemed to pass a little, and he opened his eyes, took a deep breath, and started off with her across the open area. The shadows were thick among the buildings, but the moon was up, giving them enough light to see their way. The sounds of the feast faded into the background, leaving only the slow scrape of Richard's boots scuffing on the dry ground. He straightened a little.
I think some of it has passed.
Do you get headaches often?
He smiled over to her in the moonlight.
I'm famous for my headaches. My father told me that my mother used to get headaches like the ones I get, where you feel sick to your stomach because your head hurts so much. But this one is different. I've never had ones like this before. It's like something inside my head is trying to get out.
He took his pack from her and hoisted it to his shoulder.
It hurts more than my other headaches.
They passed from the narrow passageways to the wide space around the spirit house. It sat by itself, moonlight reflecting off the tile roof Richard had helped the mud people build. Wisps of smoke rose from the chimney. Around the side, by the door, a row of chickens roosted on a low wall. They watched as she pulled the door open for him, starting a little at the squeak of the hinges, and settled down as the two of them passed inside.